Welcome. This is RAM Radio. RAM stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. The host of RAM Radio is Pastor John Coleman of Enter the Word, the Biblical Alternative. Using the Bible as his guide, Pastor John plans to equip the African-American Christian community with the tools that make the scriptures become clear for practical living and protection from the false teacher. Using the discipline of apologetics will open the eyes of the student of the Word to see God's absolute truth and the original intent of the scriptures. RAM Radio will challenge what you were taught about the Bible as well as your way of thinking and living in this world. God demands more from those who say, "I believe." Grab your Bible and pen and paper. Let's begin our study. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thanks so much, Mark Ramsey. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, tonight from Los Angeles, California. Bob Klink, Mark Ramsey, John Coleman, RAM Radio, the webcast, and the Lucy Coleman Studio. 1 Peter 3:15. We're told to sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks us to give an account of the hope that is in us, yet with gentleness and with reverence. Pray for us tonight. Thank you for joining me. Here we are in Los Angeles, and one of my friends mailed me, I guess from the first 500 pages of the 1,000-page bill that is going to the Senate from President Obama and the orchestrators of this new health bill that they want to levy on the American people. Free medical. Now, if you're living in the inner city and if you don't have medical and if somebody promises you that they're going to give you something free, of course you're going to abide by that rule and say, sure, what's wrong with that? I can't afford to take care of myself. Let me give you a little background here. I had a representative come by and look at my living trust yesterday, as a matter of fact. And while we were looking at the living trust, I had to upgrade it because there was a certain document that had to be added to the living trust in case I would have to have some kind of expensive surgery where the hospital would try to take my house. So she said, it's best for you to sign this document, get it notarized, add it to your living trust, and so that your property will go over to the trustees if anything happens to you. I had to pay a little money to get that done, but I have to constantly watch those things because laws are changing constantly. And the people that handle my living trust have to constantly speak to me about that. Let me give it to you like this. If I get a rare disease, and I know that I'm not going to ever be healed from that disease, and that disease could incapacitate me. And if they said that I got a certain surgery and I could live 10 more years as opposed to me dying in 3 years, I'm going to die in 3 years. I'd just be ready to go anyhow. I'm not going to go through all of that. Now, what do we do if we don't have medical insurance? What happens if you got to be cut on? I was talking with a guy, and he told me a friend of mine was on the bike. He got hit on his bike. He didn't have any medical insurance, and he just literally had to lay at home and heal after an emergency clinic did his leg. But the guy had no money, and he couldn't get the best of medical care. What are we to do? Well, I'm glad I got Bob Klink with me because we're going to go over some of these points right here. And since Bob is a medical doctor, he'll be able to let me know whether some of these points are rational or irrational. And I'd like you to listen to our commentary. Now, me, I'm against social medicine. I'm the old-fashioned kind of a guy. When I worked and my wife worked and we both had jobs, we had Kaiser Permanente medical insurance. I think my medical insurance for my whole family was something like $235 a month for the whole family, a family of four. When the girls went to college and moved out, I think it was $275 for my wife and I. It was under my wife's plan because she was working. Lucy passed away. My medical insurance went up to $425 a month. That X'd me out. I couldn't have any medical anymore. So what I did is I went down to the VA since I was a soldier in the Vietnam conflict during that time. And when I have to go and see a doctor, I go to the VA doctor. My medicine, I only pay about 10% of the medicine. And I see a doctor as often as I want to for medical appointments. I don't have to pay anything for those appointments. And hopefully I get nothing but a scratch or a bump knee from time to time. They did tell me that if I had to have any kind of surgery, first thing they asked me is, do you own property? And I said, yeah. Then they'll say, we'll cut, because they're going to take the house. Now, what about you guys that don't have any medical insurance at all? This is what we want to do. What we want to do is we want to take a real good look at this. This is what a person said to me, urgent. Please read this and pass it on to every American taxpayer. And this person says that they just read a few highlights from the first 500 pages of the health care bill in Congress. And there's about 1,000 pages in this pamphlet. What we're going to do is we're just going to go down, and we aren't going to be here all night doing this. Hopefully, we're just going to look at the highlighted objectives there. And as we do that, I want you to listen to it, and I want you to give us some feedback. Either email us or let me know what you think about it, even as a Christian. Let me add this premise right here. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. But he isn't going to straighten a bone. He isn't going to give me a new set of teeth. No, I got to go to some medical people and get that done. I got a credit card. If it really gets bad, I'll just give them the plastic and say, fix it, especially if I'm immobile. Okay, if you don't have credit, if you don't have that, what do you do? All right, Bob, let me ask you the question, since you're a medical doctor. Joe Doakes, a citizen's kid, gets bumped by a bus out in the street. They take him to County General Hospital. Will they treat the kid?
Yes.
Okay, will they bill the parents?
Yes. Will they expect to be paid the bill?
That's what I want to know next.
Not really.
So whose plan is game?
If you're talking about Joe, American citizen, yes, blue collar, has no health insurance, isn't old enough for Medicare, then he would go to the county hospital. He would be billed, but I don't believe they're very aggressive as far as actually eliciting payment for the bill.
Mark Ramsey told me that practically all of the health care facilities, emergency clinics in the Pasadena, Altadena area have shut down.
A lot of the emergency rooms.
The emergency rooms are shut down. Where do these people go, Bob?
They have to go to the nearest open emergency room,
which is Huntington out in that way.
Huntington Memorial, or they go to the county hospital. See, what happens here is, again, you know, you were talking to me earlier about what kind of issues are causing the problems that we're seeing in healthcare. And they have now implemented, since my becoming a doctor, they have implemented legislation that is sort of anti-dumping legislation.
What do you mean?
Okay. So what they are saying is, if you have a patient come into your emergency room who's uninsured, then they have a thing called EMTALA, which is like emergency medicine, treatment. I'm not sure exactly what EMTALA means, EMTALA. But these are rules and regulations with respect to treatment of emergency patients. Okay? So, for instance, an ankle fracture.
Okay.
Patient comes in with an ankle fracture. If he comes into an emergency room, he will be seen by the emergency doctor. He'll have an orthopedic consultation. And if he needs surgery, he will probably have surgery at that hospital, whether or not he has ability to pay.
Will they ask for a credit card when he comes in?
If he has no ability to pay, he has to be treated.
So he has to. That's an American law.
That's a California law.
That's a California law.
It's probably similar in most states.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is if you see, you can't send him emergency room to emergency room. You used to be able to do that. You used to be able to say, he's stable for transfer, he's not insured, so we're going to transfer you to the county hospital for your definitive treatment.
Right, that's the way it used to be done.
That's the way it used to be done. Now it's considered patient dumping to do that. You're not allowed to do that. The only way that you can do that is transferring to a higher level of care. If this guy is having an acute heart attack, he needs an immediate cardiac catheterization, and you don't have that at your facility, and the facility down the street has it, you can then transfer him to a higher level of care on an emergent basis and not suffer consequences of that. But if you say, for instance, an open fracture, a fracture where
the bone is sticking out of the skin.
Or there's a hole in the skin. Correct. Normally that used to be able to be splinted and sent to the county hospital, because as long as it's taken care of surgically within 12 hours or so, the prognosis is the same.
Right.
You can no longer do that because you're not sending them to the higher level of care. You're just sending them because only because of insurance issues. So you're not allowed to do that. So the hospital that he came into the emergency room door in has to treat him. So they call me. I'm on call, the orthopedic surgeon on call, open fracture. I take him to the operating room with no expectation of being paid whatsoever. I'm accepting the liability if he has a bad result and he gets sued.
You work for the hospital. So they call you to do it.
No, you take call for the
case.
Hospital.
Okay.
Now, depending, some hospitals help out the doctors by paying them for emergency calls, so that knowing that they might get some cases when they're not paid, they are at least getting paid for being on call. Now, one other hospital that I work at, I am not paid for being on call. That hospital mandates every staff member who has orthopedic surgery privileges has to be on the call panel. That's a requirement for you to work at that hospital.
Okay.
So you don't get paid for that. The only people who are exempt from call are people who've been practicing at that hospital for 25 years or more. So for your first 25 years, you have to take call. If you get an uninsured patient coming in, you have to treat that patient free of charge. But you are accepting the liability. If that person has a bad result, they can sue you. Not getting paid for that person.
So one of the doctors.
So they, what do they do? Okay. So what do hospitals do?
Come on.
If they're in the inner city,
yeah.
When they've got all these people from Skid Row rolling in off the street with wounds on their arms,
right.
Or acute alcoholic problems, or acute GI bleed from drinking too much, or
yes.
This or that and the other thing, that's a major, major load on an inner city emergency room. How do you stop the bleeding when you're trying to keep a hospital profitable? Close the ER. Don't let them get in the door.
And that's why they close so many in the Pasadena
area. ER and OBGYN are the two services, because you can't push out a pregnant lady who is in labor or bleeding or whatever. You can't ship her to another emergency room because she has no insurance. So if you have obstetric services, if you deliver babies at your hospital, you can't turn those people away. And if you have an emergency room, you can't turn those people away. So what do hospitals do in a day and an age where they're very much struggling to survive? They shut down the emergency room. So basically, what the state legislature did was they enacted legislation that ties the hands of doctors and ties the hands of hospitals, making them eat the costs of a lot of people that can be safely transferred to a county facility without their health care being affected based on insurance reasons, because they're trying to unload because the state pays for the county system.
Yes.
So they're trying to make the other hospitals share the cost of the county system. Okay? That's what it's all about. They're trying to force the other hospitals to share the cost. They're not interested in really what the benefit for the patient is. because a patient who went, for instance, to a downtown LA hospital.
Yes.
Before they implemented EMTALA, got stabilized, got transferred to the county hospital, was better off than the patient nowadays who now has no inner city hospital emergency room to go to. Can't be seen immediately. He has to travel far away to the first available emergency room. And by that time, very bad things may have happened.
Okay. This, in turn, drives the liability insurance of the physician or the doctor or the hospital sky high. Because if something happens, because the hospital is limited in staff and in procedural exercise in doing that, then they can be sued by this street person or anyone else that comes in without any type of insurance at all. Meaning that a person can come in with a fracture, with the bone protruding out.
Right.
They could wrap the arm up and suture it and stitch it up. But if a half of a staple is left in that arm because the emergency room is overflowing with broken limbs, that person can sue the hospital for millions of dollars and individually sue the doctor.
Yes.
All right. Now, where would social medicine that Obama and his cabinet wants to push solve this problem? Or would it be solved? And we'll go over some of the points to see what they're trying to talk about. Would social medicine solve
this? I don't know what their plans for as far as keeping emergency rooms open or... You know, things like that. I honestly don't know.
I would like to read the rest of this.
What that particular implication would be.
Yeah, because what they would have to do is they would have to stop any average citizen from suing any medical doctor.
Well, okay, number one is basically anybody who's got the national ID and the healthcare card can go to any hospital. Because I don't think any hospital is going to be able to deny somebody who has the socialized medicine. So if they want to drive to Cedars-Sinai, to Beverly Hills, or West LA, they can go into the fanciest ER that they want to go into and flash their ID card.
Man, that's not going to happen. Well, no, that's not going to happen, Bob. No, not in Cedars. No, no. All right, we're going to go down to number 29 on the list. Okay. Number 22 says it mandates audits of all employees.
Players.
Players. All employers, yes, that are self...
Who self-insure. In other words, if you're a small business and you own a barbershop and you've got three employees...
Okay.
And you insure your employees, you buy them Kaiser insurance... Okay, so you're just staying outside the system. You're going to be audited.
Yes, John.
How about if I talk to my employees and they say, you don't have to pay medical. I need to make some money. Just come on, man. Okay. Mandate audits?
Here. An employer must, page 145. An employer must auto-enroll employees into government-run public plan, no alternatives.
So you're going to have to enroll everybody.
Page 126, employers must pay health care bills for part-time employees and their families. So now you've got a guy working 15 hours a week at your shop, and it's your responsibility to provide him with health care and his family.
That takes... all of the money that you're trying to make.
And you have to pay him minimum wage, which keeps going up.
Some crazy stuff.
So if it's going to cost you the same amount of money that you have to lay out for health care. Let's just put it the example of two people that you're hiring for 20 hours each.
Okay.
What's going to be cheaper for you as an employer? Is it going to be cheaper for you to have two part-time employees that 20 hours and 20 hours and pay two health insurance premiums and their families and then pay them an hourly wage, or is it going to behoove you to have a full-time employee, one full-time employee that works 40 hours per week, you only pay one health care, and you then pay him his hourly wage. So it's going to behoove the employer to not have part-time employees. They're going to be way too expensive. So much for the guy who wants to work while he's going to college and have a part-time job and try to better himself at the same time, because there will be no part-time jobs.
Why do you think they put number 50 in, Bob, that all non-U.S. citizens, illegal or not, will be provided with free health care service? What are they
meant? Already are. Sorry, I trained at the county hospital. On the OBGYN ward, the women would come with Xeroxed maps from Tijuana showing them where the county hospital was to come and have their baby. So their baby, being born at the county hospital, could have American citizenship and then could petition the rest of the family in.